This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, FRBs repeat, FRBs are localised, and AstroH is named, but then lost. Two stories this month have involved the mysterious but much discussed fast radio bursts, short but loud radio signals which have been observed but not understood by astronomers since 2007. In the first paper, appearing online in the journal Nature on the 24th of February, a group of astronomers led by Evan Keane of Swinburne University of Technology in Australia claimed to have localised the origin of a fast radio burst in both sky position and distance. Since the bursts were first described 8 years ago, FRBs have remained elusive enough to generate fierce debate. The differing times of arrival of the different radio frequencies within each burst suggested they had travelled through large amounts of material. But was this diffuse material across intergalactic distances, or was it incredibly dense material within our own galaxy? What mechanism was capable of producing such large amounts of energy? And why were the bursts seen so frequently in some surveys, but so seldom in others? In the work by Keane and collaborators, at least one of these questions appeared to have been answered, with the association of an FRB with a host galaxy some 6 billion light-years away, something which had not been possible for any of the 17 previously known FRBs. After the burst was spotted by the Parkes Radio Telescope in New South Wales, only seconds after it had arrived at Earth, a wide variety of telescopes across the Southern Hemisphere sprung into action in an attempt to identify another object whose varying brightness coincided with that of the FRB. Because of the large field of view of Parkes, it is difficult to place where exactly on the sky a signal detected there has come from, meaning it is standard practice for astronomers to look for light from the event producing the FRB at other wavelengths as soon as possible, as other telescopes are capable of more precise determinations of sky localization. In the case of FRB 150418, this appears to have been successful, with data from the Australia Telescope Compact Array, or ATCA, finding a radio source in a similar direction, which flickered and faded in the 6 days following the FRB detection. The Optical Subaru Telescope in Hawaii was then able to identify a galaxy at this position and measure its distance via the redshifting of spectral lines. This apparent confirmation of FRBs as having an extragalactic origin caused much excitement, as it shows them to be some of the most energetic events known in the universe. Loud FRBs spaced across the universe could potentially be useful in cosmology for both measuring distances and, through the delay in the time of arrival of their different frequency components, measuring the number of free electrons between us and the FRB, identifying a source of matter outside galaxies otherwise invisible to us. However, the excitement was modulated by an almost immediate rebuttal of the finding. Peter Williams and Ido Berger, both of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, placed a short paper on the archive server for academic preprints 2 days after the discovery was announced, pointing out a potential mistake in the analysis. The two Harvard astronomers claimed that the problem lay in the statistics of the original paper, and that there was a much higher probability that the flickering radio source seen by ATCA and identified as the afterglow of the FRB was in fact the more normal variability of an unassociated active galactic nucleus, the emission from the hot dense matter around a black hole at the centre of a different galaxy. Whilst active galactic nuclei, or AGN, are still extreme and interesting events, they are present and well studied throughout the universe, and do not need to have anything to do with FRBs. Reaction to this possibility was mixed and will take some time to resolve. The most promising approach appears to be in further observing the proposed host galaxy over an extended period of time. If any sign is seen of an uptick in the brightness of the radio galaxy, this would be an almost certain sign that the observation by ATCA was of a distant AGN, a supermassive black hole drawing in and superheating ancient gas and dust. Interesting, but not an FRB. Also in the news this month was another, more secure story about fast radio bursts. This one relates to the observation of several FRBs as repeating, meaning they cannot originate in single cataclysmic events such as the explosions of supermassive neutron stars, one of their previously proposed origins. By observing the aforementioned frequency-dependent delay, known as dispersion measure, or DM, of the arrival of FRBs at the Arecibo Radio Telescope in Puerto Rico, the group, led by Laura Spittler of the Max Planck Institute for Radio Astronomy in Bonn, Germany, showed that the properties and sky positions of 10 bursts seen in the latter half of 2015 were consistent with those of both each other and another burst seen in 2012. These FRBs are all also consistent with being extragalactic, all having dispersion measure 3 times greater than the maximum expected for any source in the Milky Way. But none have the all-important associated host galaxy or redshift to confirm this with certainty. The mere fact that they appear to be repeating is still a huge finding for FRB astronomy, placing severe constraints on their origin and increasing the chances that they can be localized by other instruments who know when to expect their eruptions. However, there does appear to be a downside. If FRBs repeat and are not single events, it means they are unlikely to be so-called standard candles of set intrinsic brightness, which can be used for measuring cosmological distances. The best standard candle known to astronomers, the Type 1a supernovae, have proven invaluable in measuring the expansion of the universe and helping us learn about the nature of dark energy. We'll have to remain so for now. And finally, a new X-ray satellite hit severe problems this month when it lost contact with its controllers and apparently broke into several pieces in orbit. The satellite, belonging to the Japanese space agency JAXA, was previously known as Astro H, but was recently named Hitomi, a tradition for Japanese missions whereby they are not named until safely in orbit. Hitomi was scheduled to be contacted on March the 26th for continued shakedown and calibration before beginning taking science data later this year. However, Hitomi failed to report, and observations appear to point to severe problems for the satellite. Tracking data showing orbital period against time for the 26th of March appears to show a sharp discontinuity, hinting at a violent event, as does the US Joint Space Operations Center's report of 5 smaller objects orbiting along with the satellite, and amateur astronomers' reports of the spacecraft tumbling apparently out of control. It remains to be seen whether the incident is the result of an asteroid or other space debris striking Hitomi, or whether a fault on the craft itself caused an explosion. Losing contact for a time with the satellite does not necessarily mean the mission cannot be highly successful, with both the XMM Newton telescope and the New Horizons Pluto probe going dark for several days before coming back online. And, indeed, JAXA reported on the morning of the 29th of March that 2 fleeting communications had been made with Hitomi. The astronomy community will keep its fingers crossed, hoping that all is not lost, and we do not have to wait for ESA's Athena X-ray telescope to be launched in 2030.